WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A trip to band camp turns deadly when a charter bus veers off of I-84 northwest of New York City and crashes into a ravine. Two adults died. More from CBS's Michael George.
40 children and four adults were on board. With the damaged bus on its side, rescuers reached the windows using a ladder to bring passengers to safety. The injured, including several students in critical condition, were brought to six area hospitals. By nightfall, the investigation was still in the early stages.
Preliminary information indicates a failure of a front tire may have been a contributing factor to this accident.
That's New York State Police Lieutenant Colonel Richard Mazzone. An inmate who escaped from a St. Louis hospital this morning is back in custody. Convicted child sex offender Tommy Boyd was taken into custody at a grocery store in Shrewsbury, Missouri, as a special response unit followed up on leads. The trickle-down effect has begun 1 week into the United Auto Workers strike. WSBT-TV's Gabby Luma reports.
It's the first time all of the big three automakers are simultaneously striking. Experts say 68% of local manufacturers in Michigan are connected to the automotive industry and are already experiencing the ripple effects of the strike.
The union is threatening to expand strike locations if no serious progress is made by noon tomorrow in talks with the automakers. President Biden says the first M1 Abrams tanks will soon arrive in Ukraine, along with another $325 million aid package. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says it follows a White House meeting and a stop on Capitol Hill by President Zelensky.
Lawmakers who met with Zelensky said they appreciated his detailed assessment of the war, and the Ukrainian president once again expressed gratitude for U.S. assistance, adding, quote, "Oversight, transparency, and accountability for all the aid is absolutely important."
There's a mostly Republican divide on Capitol Hill over how to keep funding the war. With an October 1st government shutdown looming, House Republicans vote down a short-term spending bill. CBS's Scott McFarlane on what a shutdown would mean.
That means the idling of hundreds of thousands of federal workers. It means delays getting passports, visas, education benefits, VA benefits. It means many federal workers forced to stay on the job without a paycheck.
Two Boston College sports teams are in hot water over alleged hazing. WBZ's Nicole Davis in Boston.
In a statement, Boston College's athletic program says both the men's and women's swimming and diving programs are now indefinitely suspended for hazing. The statement goes on to say the school does not and will not tolerate hazing in any form. At this point, there's no word about what's happening next with the team's coach, Joe Brinkman.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But,
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Menu and more at scotchamamas.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Henny Cutter.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are, Robert. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here at the mother station here, AM 950 Native, here in Eden Prairie.
Yes.
I can't talk. Maybe I should go home.
We did make it out here.
Yeah. And it's exciting because I don't think I've done a show out here since pre-COVID. Mm. And we did many years here coming out to Eden Prairie and do this show. And we get to look at Brett now in the control room. Hey, Brett, how's it going?
I know. It's been a while since we've had you out here.
I know.
Good to see you guys, though. Yeah.
You look different. You mustache or yeah. something's different about you. But it's good to see you. And Haley, I normally see Haley because she works from home, too. So it's like we're in person here. And we have Robert Lilligren, who's not in person, but we got to see him earlier today. And
yes.
Robert's the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And before we pull Robert on here, let's take a quick listen to our update, Robert, with Governor Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Last month, I announced I was calling the legislature into a special session to finish their work on the biennial budget and pass real, meaningful solutions for our state's workforce challenges. And I proposed my comprehensive plan to address these challenges, including expanding family leave, educating and training for future workers at our UW and Technical College campuses, and supporting high-need workforce sectors statewide. And a cornerstone of my plan included investing in affordable child care statewide and preventing our child care industry's looming collapse. It is estimated that without the necessary investments to stave off the looming fiscal cliff facing our state's child care industry, more than 2,000 child care programs are projected to close. That could result in the loss of over 4,880 child care jobs. That'd mean leaving more than 87,000 Wisconsin kids without childcare, potentially causing about $500 million or more in economic impacts between parents leaving the workforce and reduced employer productivity. I will continue to do everything I can to stabilize our child care industry, support working families, and recruit, retain, and train a workforce that can meet the needs of the 21st century. And I'll remain hopeful that Republicans will someday get serious, put politics aside, and decide to join us in the important work of finding real solutions to the challenges facing our state. And I won't stop fighting every day until they do. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thanks, Governor Evers, for that update. Robert, geez, we hear these updates from the governor of Wisconsin, and we just are grateful for how things are here in Minnesota, and really put some tobacco out and pray for our relatives in Wisconsin.
Right. They're so lucky to have Governor Evers. Oh, bonjour, Kaylee. Bonjour, Robert.
Hey.
It was great to see you at Four Sisters Farmers Market today. It was a happening spot.
Yes.
Today. But yeah, folks in Wisconsin are so fortunate to have Governor Evers. I love your connection to him and your rapport with him. And then he sees the value of connecting with our community through your platform here. And those are just chilling numbers, right? 87,000 kids. Without childcare, a loss of $500 million in revenues and wages, and just wonder how people who would oppose this kind of a program, you know, there's a legislative majority of Republicans in this country, and, you know, consider themselves family values and things, and here's such a fundamental way to take care of our families, and such a necessary way to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to participate in the economy in the way that they choose. Child care is so fundamental. It should just be a right.
Right. And while we're on the topic of Wisconsin, too, I just wanted to give a shout out Arvina Martin, who is from Emerge Wisconsin over there. She is a fellow Ho-Chunk. So, hey, relative, we want to give a shout out to her daughter. Nico had her 15th birthday yesterday. So happy belated birthday, Nico. We hope you enjoyed your special day.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That is lovely. Hey, so there's a lot to talk about and unwrap, and I know we wanted to talk a little bit about the pickle contest, but maybe we can do that next next segment because that's important. But we're kind of on this roll now, especially with the governor giving us that report. And what's interesting, Robert, is what I felt like when Minnesota wasn't a trifecta just 2 years ago or so, that the Republicans didn't have any answers. They just they had no ideas. They were just against things.
Right, right. And, you know, kind of keep it up, right? It's hard for people to get excited about just being against stuff. And as we have a major election coming up in 2024, let's keep that up. Just be against things for a while the people who really want to get things done can get into office and start things moving. And it's hard to know. I mean, you look at what's happening in the state level, you look at what's happening in the federal level in Congress, where, again, it's just, you know, the party of no. You know, and
well, they say yes when they're in a theater together, I think. If you know what I'm talking about, there's family values going on there.
Right. Yeah. So Representative Brulbart and her escapades and so it's, I don't know. I strive to believe that people have good intentions, even when it's someone I disagree with 100% or 180. At times it really stretches my ability to see that. And, you know, we're careening toward a government shutdown.
Ugh.
It's pretty much inevitable now.
Right.
And it's interesting that the People's House, as we call it, Congress just can't get together. They don't agree that, you know, it's important to keep the federal government running.
Well, and we all know that that's playing politics, you know, same with Biden's son that's playing politics. You know, it's like the guy's in recovery now. He made some major mistakes, and one of them had to do with guns. And all of a sudden, all these right-wing wackos that like guns don't like guns all of a sudden.
Right. Or they don't really know where to go, right? They're kind of, you know, oh, these are guns. Oh, should we be supportive or... Yeah, so when you make guns rights more important than human rights, right. and people's rights. This is kind of where you end up, and you're not on solid ground.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was just kind of saying, because they want to go after Biden because he was a felon with a gun, and he had the gun for 11 days and gave it back, and you know, where are their gun rights now? They're not, you know, for Biden's gun rights. They're just for whoever gun rights they want.
Right, right. They're friends, right?
They're, exactly. You know.
It's amazing.
So, Robert, tell our audience, we get new people all the time listening, a little bit about yourself, because I think it's important to bring that up every once in a while, and in what you've done and the glass ceilings you've broken over the years, and what you do now in helping people politically and also locally, and not only politically, but, you know, our community and what you're doing now. But just to give your little, what word am I looking for, your bio here while we end this segment.
Well, you always say very kind things about it, so thanks very much. And so I've been in politics for a while now, maybe 20, 25 years. I served on the Minneapolis City Council for 12 years. I was the first tribal citizen to ever get elected to office in the city of Minneapolis. I stay in the political realm through my representation on the Metropolitan Council, our regional government, once again, the first Native person to serve on that body's 50-year history. And then I just have always, from the beginning of my elected life, really made it a priority to bring others along and to share what I've learned. And so few people were willing to help me in the beginning. So I just made a determination. So I'm always kind of involved. I'm a little more behind the scenes now, but helped develop candidates, especially women of color, and Native women, but pretty much anyone that I feel like really deserves or needs the help and willing to help out.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care. It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we just so happen to have the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here on, and it's Robert Lilligren, and it's Robert Lilligren Day, and I really love the fact that you brought up your bio, because I don't know, we're just blessed here. We were on the other show earlier today, and it's just like our guests really make our show here, and you're a big part of that. And I hope you know that, Robert. Really, that if it was up to me, I'd be the king of ums, and I think we'd be canceled. We'd be canceled after a couple of weeks.
Yes, we love highlighting really important organizations and people in the community, leaders that are doing really great things, and you're definitely one of them, Robert. So thank you for being on with us.
Thank you, Robert. You always say such kind things that I probably don't deserve, just to remind us and folks that you brought up my resume, not me. But I appreciate the opportunity and to celebrate with the community, right? I don't do this for myself.
No.
I do it for the community. And yeah, you were kind of at the federal conversation, and there's just so much going on in D.C. that I want to bring you, not only are the Republicans crashing our entire government through their inability to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government running, and then there's one-off things like Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama and his crusade to block all kinds of appointments and promotions, especially within the military, within the Pentagon. Yeah. There's some 300 nominations that he's stalled.
Right.
And so finally, Senator Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, ran an end run around him and brought forward the confirmation of General C.Q. Brown to serve as chairman of the Chiefs of Staff. So they can end run around Senator Tuberville and his antics, but it takes a lot of process and procedure. So now, as it looks, for every one of those 300 appointments, we'll need to go through this protracted process of running around the senator. And it's so hard to understand that a party that seems so supportive of the military, the Republicans, would do something like this.
Well, they don't want, and I could be wrong, please correct me, but they don't want Biden's people in there in case Trump comes back and wants to take over the military, because they'll tell him no. And, we were so close on January 6th to have this government overthrown, and we're seeing that every day more and more by the shenanigans that Trump and his gang, including these senators that were giving a position to where Pelosi was and where the vice president was. I mean, this is crazy. And I think that's part of their game plan, too.
I think that's very smart and very astute. Of course, Senator Tuberville's stated position is that he opposes that the military will support military women, military personnel traveling for reproductive health care. So because of that one provision, he's holding up all these appointments. He is making us less safe from a military perspective as a country. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. It's just generally an interest to make our president fail.
Yeah.
And I question the patriotism of that, and I don't feel, safe with those kinds of people in charge. But that's who's there.
Right.
Unfortunately.
We have election, and, I think one of the things that I believe is that we always say, as long as I've been voting since Reagan and Carter was my first election, presidential election, and this is the most important election, but really this is, and the things that are coming out of the woodwork, whether it's false people like Joe Rogan speaking on vaccines and government, or all of a sudden now they're pounding the drum saying that Biden's too old, but yet he's only a few years older than Trump, and la, 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 la.
Correct, right. This age thing, it's interesting. The Trump side doesn't really raise that, because I think there's, 2 years between Trump and Biden, and And yeah, the distractions, you know, the Hunter Biden hearings, and even those who are leading that effort on the Republican side acknowledge that there's no additional evidence, there's nothing new. So it's just going through the motions. And you hear people like Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene say, this is just to cause as much pain to Joe Biden as possible.
You know, while we're on the topic of Marjorie Greene, I saw a very funny meme that I almost sent it to you, Robert Dega. It was Dog the Bounty Hunter on a boat or something. And someone was like, I'm gonna tell my kids that this was Taylor Marjorie Greene on her fishing trip or something. It was Dog the Bounty Hunter. So
that's good. Yeah. So, first off, how do these people get into office? Right. How do they stay in office? And I question their commitment to the Constitution, to our democracy. And I always think it's kind of ironic when people like us get put into the position of defending democracy, because it hasn't been that good for Native people overall. But you know, rule of law, and we understand the rules.
Well, that's the thing I always struggle with, Robert, and because we always used to talk about until Trump came around is that, you know, the left and the right wing come from the same bird, but it isn't that way now. And we need to get the Democrats in there and then straighten them out a little more, but we won't be able to if we don't vote them in.
Exactly.
And so it's like not a double-edged sword, but it's really kind of a touchy thing, because I know people aren't happy, but wow, don't be wasting your vote or on a third party or any of these things like that.
Right. Yeah, this 2024 election is going to be amazing. And kind of just turning the focus back to Wisconsin, and again, this party, these Republicans who say they stand for law and order and the rule of law and justice, and then how they're handling their most recently elected state Supreme Court justice.
What the heck?
And can you, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Do you know
help me, Brad. I used to be able to say this.
Oh, yeah, Janet Protasiewicz.
Thank you.
Protasiewicz, thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
But they're trying to sideline her and take away her authorities, almost like impeach her before she's even ruled on a single case.
I know.
Because they are so worried. And such a strategy in states like that is for Republican legislatures to stack the deck, right? To change the rules of election access and voting to favor their candidates. And they're so afraid that the laws will show them for what they are, which is a party trying to, the party that is promoting minority rule.
Well, Protasiewicz, I got to say it right there. Protasiewicz.
Well done.
Thank you. I just was showing off. The big hope with her was to stop all this gerrymandering, and that's what you're talking about, is the minority rule. Because I don't know if you can help me out with this, but I thought I heard something like, and I don't really understand it, but in order for Democrats to win, they'd have to have 58% of the vote, and Republicans with 45% of the vote. Isn't that something like that in Wisconsin?
It's something in that magnitude, and I don't know the number. And Janet won in a landslide victory because it was very much framed by her supporters, her election, as protecting reproductive access to reproductive medical care, abortion access, and it was. The Republicans are trying to change the rules through the judiciary that would control how Wisconsinites voted on ballot referendum, on a ballot initiative, so that it would be a higher threshold for a constitutional amendment than it has been historically. And voters responded, man, and I think they're going to keep responding to the same issue.
That's a great point. And even some of these elections that have come up just recently nationally that are local elections, there have been Democratic landslides. So I don't believe in any of these polls. And we have people like Haley that are Gen Zs that are totally upset with this, and they don't normally get polled. So I think things are going to be looking good. We just got to keep on talking about it and make voting a tradition and get our people out there and really the work that you guys are doing.
Cool. Haley, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say we need more Native people in office. So if you are thinking of running, check out any Emerge program, right, as Arvina talks about. So emerge.org.
And NADCE, Robert Lilligren helps many people, too. I know on the side you don't talk a lot about that, but I know you've helped me and you've helped many politicians, and you are helping politicians now to run because it's – well, and it's a hard road to toe if you don't have a mentor like yourself.
Very kind, very kind. And Haley's generation is now the largest voting block. They seem to be the largest voting block in this country.
Proud to be a part of it.
Great. Our fate is in your hands. So.
She's looking at me kind of funny. I think she wants to take the show over now that you said that. But,
next generation is here.
I love it.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened here with Robert Lilligren, and we're spending the whole show with Robert and really excited to talk about things.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. A bus carrying Long Island high school students to band camp crashes on I-84 in New York, killing two students and critically injuring at least five other people. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman.
They had a weekend planned of fun and enjoying their musicianship. And unfortunately, the day ended in tragedy.
Ukraine's president in D.C. offers thanks to the U.S. for monetary and military aid and asks for more. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Zelensky spent the morning making his case on Capitol Hill in a series of private meetings. Lawmakers say Ukraine's president painted a stark picture of the situation on the ground.
If we step away from supporting them, the Russians will win this war. He was very clear about that.
That's Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware. Convicted sex offender Tommy Boyd in custody this morning at a St. Louis hospital made a run for it. He has been arrested at a grocery store in Shrewsbury, Missouri. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes, rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond
it. Mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Find their menu and more at scotchamamas.com.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
Yes, this portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Art Gallery, located on 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and it's a Thursday, and we're blessed to have Robert on, and he's going to be on the whole show here. And we're talking politics right now, and I think one of the things that we've seen a little bit on our chat here on Facebook and YouTube is that people are upset that we only have Biden and Trump. And I just got to say this, Robert, and I don't know if you agree or not, but I feel like Biden's been one of the most progressive presidents that we've had probably in the last 40 years. And one of the first things he did was to shut down the mining in the Enbridge the second day of his presidency. And he does a lot of things for Native Americans. And I just think the Democrats are having problems in a sense of really getting the word out of what is really going on in a good way with the Biden administration.
Yeah, I agree. And some of that's just the nature of the beast, right? How media happens and where people go for their news. And then some of it is kind of getting that message out. And I think especially around the economy, and there's kind of this general sense that this administration has been bad for the economy, but when so many indicators, you know, things are actually looking up for the economy. I mean, it's still painful. Prices are too high, interest rates are too high, but the economy overall, unemployment or employment, I guess I should say, overall, the statistics are good. And, you know, and I'm not the type of person that loves having to pick between sort of the lesser of two evils, but I just don't think that's the case here. And, you know, you look at our Biden's running mate, you know, a historic vice president, and, you know, and the appointments that he's made as the Supreme Court, who he supports into the federal courts. I just think there's a lot of good there. And, you know, before this last election, or actually before 2016, there was so much conversation about the makeup of the Supreme Court. And, and at the time, it seems kind of removed from who you're going to vote for. But we learned our lesson, I hope, there. And we're suffering from it. We know of a Supreme Court that cannot dispense justice for a majority of Americans. And there's very little we can do about it.
Well, and, you know, you see what's happening right now, who the Russians and the oil people want as president. They're raising gas prices, and this is not because Biden's doing a terrible job as president. It's because they want Trump or somebody else in there.
Right. Foreign interference in our elections.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of a conspiracy theorist, but not the biggest one I know. I just look at 2016. And, you know, that was the result of foreign interference in the elections. And then you look at what happened on January 6th, and that's just an outcropping of that. You know, it's an entire, not just class of people in this country, but internationally that do not want our democracy to succeed.
Right. And then you have, you know, our own people saying outright lies about what Biden's done, whether it's, you know, he's caught more people at the border than Trump. And it's like, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, all these things that they're turning into an upside down world, and people are listening to it because, you know, we all have kind of a contrarian kind of attitude that's built in all of us. And but if you bullet point everything that he's done, you know, and when you're president, you have all these other people working for you.
Right, right. You're steering a lot, right? Not just your White House administration, but but all of these executive agencies, your cabinet, your all of your secretaries. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge amount of power.
Right.
And in general, people have inherent distrust of power, which is not a bad thing. And, you know, it keeps that sort of balance, hopefully, in government. And, you know, and just the more I learn as I go on my journey here about sort of indigenous ways of supporting leaders, leadership, and, you know, more of a trust bond or almost like family bond there. It's, I think indigenous people in indigenous ways, it's your earlier point here, we may have more indigenous people in office that we could possibly be reframing. So this just trust of powerful elected people is part of us as people, part of our culture. And then how do we move beyond that so we can hold our elected leaders accountable without shredding the whole system?
Yeah, I mean, that's it in a nutshell, right?
Right.
It really is.
We have all these old men running the country for how many years? I'm still, you know, I'm 25, haven't seen a woman in presidency yet. Mm. I'm still waiting. You know, I remember Obama's election and the difference between when Obama was elected and the difference between when Donald Trump was elected. So these are just kind of my experiences, but I mean, I can't remember how old I was when Obama ran, but, you know, it was a school night. I remember my mom woke me up in the middle of the night and she goes, Obama won. And, you know, I was maybe like 10 years old or something. And I was just so excited to have our first, you know, black president. I was beyond thrilled. I was so excited for the country. And then come, you know, Donald Trump's election is my freshman year of college. And when he was elected and I voted, obviously not for him, but, you know, our college professors, like, broke down and cried the next day in class and canceled classes. So the difference is, I mean, pretty wild.
Right. So President Obama was elected in 2008, and I was then, 48 years old, I guess, so long ago. But he was, not only was he the, for me, you know, he was the first black president for all of us. Mm-hmm. For me, he was the first president that was younger than me.
Right.
At
yeah.
the time. And I loved it. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is so cool. I can't wait, you know, for the next ones. And of course, no, that's not what we're seeing. We're kind of back to the historical status quo.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, it'll happen again. It has to. It's a numbers game, right? Elections are a numbers game.
Right.
The people games. If people get out and vote, we can control those outcomes.
Yeah.
And determine them.
How do we get to our people to vote? I know you guys have been doing a lot of things and making voting a tradition and that's so important. And I have to say this, the last two cycles have really, in the last presidency too, over the country have been really, these votes in Michigan and Arizona and Minnesota have really been the native vote.
They have been. And I think there's a growing awareness amongst political parties, especially state political parties, that Native votes can swing elections. And votes can be won, especially statewide votes, by such narrow margins. And so now all parties are paying attention, right? And I think I've shared this with you. I'm wearing my brand new 2023 Make Voting a Tradition t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone with pink this year. And we were part of a seven state strategy in 2022 where states where it was identified Native votes could swing them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did coordinated strategies, coordinated voter outreach and engagement. And, you know, the work that we do at NACTI, we have significantly increased Native voter turnout within the city of Minneapolis. And even in our region, we're starting to work statewide now and starting to make build relationships and partnerships with our tribes that aren't in the metro area. And it's, we do it in a multi-generational approach. And we really focus on young people, 16, 17 year olds who can now be pre-registered in our state, 18 year olds, and then elders, right? And make sure that together, the whole family understands the importance of voting and the whole family goes to vote together. And we have some data from the last elections about, you know, did you vote? Who did you go with?
Mm.
You know, did you take your kids, your adult, you know, your elders? And it's really satisfying and kind of hopeful to see what's happening in our little world.
Yeah, well, and you were part of the, and I love bringing this up, your organization was part of that massive 9,000 people that were signed to vote for the first time up in Indian Country, up in Red Lake area up there. Mm-hmm. That was a huge, huge game changer.
It was, and it'll be interesting to see how that all evolves up there. So for folks who are listening from someplace, Minneapolis is in the sort of southeastern part of Minnesota, or south central part of Minnesota and east central. And then the bigger reservations are up north. And so make voting a tradition was involved in our redistricting of the last census. And for the first time up north, there's a congressional district that has a majority of the reservations, the three big reservations within the congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's just a matter of time, right?
Right.
Before we start flipping that. So it's kind of, you know, there's these submerged things that are actually kind of encouraging.
Yeah. And with that in mind, too, Native candidates can come out of there and get support. And, you know, we've had a few give it a shot and come really close. And so now we have more power because, and that's a thing that the Republicans are trying to take away, places like Michigan, specifically Detroit, get rid of representation, gerrymander them out.
Right. Right. And there's maps out, Georgia, you know, right, throughout the South and things where congressional redistricting maps are being thrown out by judges.
Yeah.
Judges appointed by, you know, all different parties. And we're yet to kind of figure out what impact that's going to have on the congressional majority in 2024. And I would say it's looking hopeful.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. The law is actually kind of expressing itself. The maps might just take care of that majority in the longer run.
That's amazing. That's totally amazing. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and I think we'll talk a little bit about what Native American Community Development Institute does, and also the Great Pickle-Off today, and talk a little bit about that, because I had my favorite, but no one would tell me who it was or what the secret recipe was, so I got I got butt hurt at butt there, but I got a bunch of pickles.
They were good.
They were awesome. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
School season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
The pack.
We got everybody.
I know, I had to join you on that one now that you're here.
Yeah. Right on. That was a good one. Hey, it was funny to hear from Dallas Goldtooth, who was arrested in Washington, D.C., protesting Leonard Peltier on his birthday, and just got to give him a shout out. And I watched Reservation Dogs, and it was a very emotional one for me, and I think a lot of people. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, because, don't yet.
But. You know, we're going to miss that show, and hopefully there's some spinoffs. So we're here with Robert Lilly.
And Leonard Peltier Caravan came through Minneapolis.
Oh, go ahead.
On its way to D.C. Yeah, they had a big community event and rally. Our organization, NACDI, supported the effort here, and yeah, that was important. And I'm interested to know who else got arrested. I know there was
35 people.
Yeah, I know the president of, who was it? I'm not going to be able to remember it now.
Oh, Nick Estes.
Yeah.
Indian Collective.
Indian Collective president.
He got arrested, a bunch of people. And again, every time what's happened since there's been a Leonard Peltier march through the cities, I've been in New York. So that's why you didn't see me, and I really felt bad because, you know, I was able to interview him about a year ago, and you hear his, and I begged him to do a bumper for us, and so you hear him on the show, so we remember him all the time, and but yeah, good work, and there's some young warriors that have taken this up, and we had Rachel on, who did the walk to D.C.
Yeah, Rachel Dion Thunder.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of good warriors and doing good things out there, and again, that you know, I think this is kind of the light part of the show, but let's talk a little bit about the pickles today, you know?
Yes, it was a big deal.
Oh, did you hear that? A big deal.
It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, my God. Why didn't I think of that?
Our organization does some food access initiatives. We have Urban Farm right in the area. And then we have our Four Sisters Farmers Market, which is a signature project of NACDI. And every Thursday from June to October, through October, we have our we have our farmers market. And today, you know, for the second time, we partnered in holding a pickle contest, a pickle off, we call it. And people love it. And it was, we're looking to make it an annual event now. It's been a couple of years since we've done it, but it was great to see you, Haley, and Robert there. I'm glad you got to try some. This year, we just had two categories. It was a little scaled back. We had dill and sort of other specialty and it's great. And the the dill category was won by a really recognized leader, Dr. Erdrick, here in Minneapolis. She works at Indian Health Board, which is great. And she, or Angela Erdrick is her name, she's from a very prominent family in Minneapolis of Turgemalton, sisters that includes Louise Erdrick, the novelist, Hyde Erdrick, the poet, Dr. Erdrick. So she won in the dill category, which was great. And then in the other category, or the not dill category, a community member named Alita Loveless won in the not dill category. And so it was really fun, and people were really into it.
That's community. That's building community. And I know a lot of people are excited, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And I was able to get there. And sample that before we came out to the station. And
I love it.
I did too.
We had something like 20 community members apply to be judges. I think we only needed 4 or 5.
Oh, funny. Yeah, I'll apply next year.
Yeah, you'd be welcome. Maybe you could broadcast. Have the great pickle contest.
We'll have to preempt Tom Hartman, but we'll do it.
So that was just great. And the market was great today. I mean, the vibe is so positive. It is community building. Mm-hmm. And that's really what our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, NACT, is about. And, you know, it's kind of hard to measure things like that. You know, it's not like we're producing widgets or something. Yeah. We can say we produce X amount of widgets.
Yeah,
but the sense of community, the sense of, you know, community expression, I'm kind of full of this thinking because this week our organization, NACT, did a 2-day staff and board retreat of strategic planning, you know, and that kind of gets your brain working in a different way. And so now I'm just feeling like I'm full of ideas and new vocabulary.
I want to say Pini Gigi for those sandwiches left over from your meeting, too. I appreciate that.
Yeah, shout out Alex Buffalo Head for those
Right out of your fridge, those little egg sandwiches. But, you know, one thing I know by going as often as I have, you'll see people there that are there every week, but I see people that I don't see in a long time, and there's a big percentage of people that come up maybe once a month or one time, and that's community building as heck.
It's huge community building, and I'm glad you brought that up. The last year or so, that's been the case. I see all these people that I've never seen before. And it's not like I know everybody in the world, but you know, we're a fairly small community. And so it's always rewarding. They're often younger people, which I just love. And there's a place for them to go, right? It's kind of a happening scene on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Yeah. So it's great. And then we also do provide food access to the community, not just Native people, but everyone. And we have a couple of programs that leverage SNAP dollars. So a 3-to-1 leverage. If you bring your SNAP dollars, you get 2 extra dollars, and you have certificates and things. And so sometimes homegrown, organically grown produce can be kind of expensive, or products. But we're creating accessibility through these generously subsidized programs.
And we remind it's open to everyone in the community, too. That's what's so cool. I ran into 2 people that listened to the show and came because of the show. And it was like they looked at me and said, "Your voice sounds very familiar." And I get that a lot. And it's like I played coy. You know, Robert, I was coy about it. It's like, what do you mean?
I was over in St. Paul last week at the great event for the Walk on Teepee Project.
Yeah.
Maggie Lawrence, the brilliant leader who heads that up. And people came up to me and said, "Oh, yeah, I listened to you on the radio. It's lovely to hear you talking." It's like, great.
Yeah.
We have fans.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first time I ran into that, I was like, what? People listen to my show? You know, 6 years ago. But now it's fun because, you know, places like the fair or, you know, the Four Sisters Market, when people are out there, they come because of what they've heard from you and other people about it, and also listening to the show. And that's really heartwarming because when COVID came out, I just got to say this quick story before we end the show. We worked with a Native community about the hotline with COVID. And they had to hire 8 more or 4 more operators because people across the country, and this was the only station they were advertising on. And so there was a lot of people listening and wondering and wanting to ask questions all over Turtle Island. So it's great to have this forum to educate our allies and also talk to our relatives.
I appreciate you both, Robert. I appreciate everything you do to provide this platform.
Definitely.
It's important.
Yeah. It is. Well, hey, thanks, Robert, for being on doing the whole show with us. I know you're a busy person, so we appreciate your time, and you make the show and make Thursdays. Haley, always thank you, and Brett, thank you. If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the 7th generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. No. Hey.
cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley, 93.5 The Tap.